fighting to combat tyranny, one state at a time, starting with Wisconsin. This is the Badger State Resistance Podcast, brought to you by Liberty and Freedom. And welcome back to another episode of the Badger State Resistance Podcast and another round of us being live. I thank you for those that are joining. We have a lot to cover. For those of you that may not know, the movie, or I should say the documentary, 2000 Mules, came out over the past weekend. And one of the things that I will tell you is that we learned an incredible amount of information, the amount of disgusting, it's hard to go with the right words, to be brutally honest with you, just how ridiculous and illegal the actions in which so many participated. It's just unbelievable. So today, what I would like to do is I want to go over some key points. I've got a guest that'll end up joining me here. And the most important thing is to understand what's at stake in this now election, the 2022 election. It is absolutely crucial that we all start to understand what's at stake. What I need everybody watching to do is in the comments, I want you to start tagging your friends. We need people to understand that 2000 Mules is not just some propaganda piece. It is an actual real thing. It's real evidence as to what happened in 2020, and it's disturbing, and this, there's a lot of things that actually partook that I've been talking about for a long time and how to correct our elections. I know Lieutenant Governor candidate Jonathan Wickman has been talking about, governor candidate for Tim Rantham. You got Karen Mueller, Adam Steen, and countless others that have been talking about this. But in reality, for the last 2 years here in Badger State Resistance, Jonathan and I have been just absolutely pounding the election integrity and what we need to do. So again, it's crazy. So what we're going to do is I'm going to put some things on. And if I don't get to you, hello to Kimber. Hello, Ed. Thank you for adding people. Let's see. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put up a topic, and then we're going to talk about it for a minute. And then we're going to move to the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And then I want to bring on my guest, potentially. We'll see what ends up happening if we want to bring listeners on to have the conversation. That's the beauty of this live stream, is that it's meant to be 100% interactive with the people. So let's see here. The first item in the business here today, what to do with the Wisconsin Election Commission. Okay. First of all, the Wisconsin Election Commission needs to be eliminated and not replaced with another bureaucratic office. It needs to be 100% eliminated. The duties need to be restored back to the Secretary of State, an elected individual that is elected by and for and by the people. Excuse me, folks. And then also, we're not going to stop there. We're going to also look at the Audit Bureau, which at one point the Secretary of State, many don't know this, was the state auditor. Now, I'm not opposed to every single election being audited. It's something that we should absolutely be doing. We have to make sure that our elections are 100% secure. And Brock's right. Our own government went to war with the American people, essentially, with what we're looking at, right? With what we found out in 2000 mules. We got 800 just in Wisconsin alone. There was over 100 mules just in the Milwaukee area. But we're going to really get into a lot of the mule stuff. Let's see. Now let's go to our second point. Again, I want to be quick in a sense, because I want to get to many questions, because I know a lot of people are going to have questions on this episode. Okay, clearing the voting rolls. It is essential that after every single election, we clear the rolls. Now, many people are going to say, well, wait a minute, I'm going to have to re-register. No. No, that should not be a problem for you. Yes, you should have to re-register. This keeps our elections secure. This keeps our elections safe. This keeps people that don't live in our state, that have unfortunately deceased, off the rolls. Okay, if you watched the 2000 Mules documentary, you will see how the mules and these bad actors and these people were able to go and essentially buy ballots. Okay, they were pulling them out of mailboxes. So there's all kinds of incredible stuff that happened. And like I said, folks, we will get to a lot of questions because I want great conversation tonight. Again, continue to add people, share this onto your page, get as many people in here. We must know. We must continue to know. And again, so going back to the clearing of the rolls, this is not an inconvenience to you. Okay, we need people to re-register. We need to know who is actually in Wisconsin so that we don't end up again with more people voting than there are people that are eligible to vote within, you know, a city, a town, a county, or the state. All right, this is a big one. Ballot boxes. We, here in Wisconsin, need to amend the state's constitution to make ballot boxes illegal. Never again should we ever see a ballot box. We watched our entire election truly become stolen based on the ballot boxes. It's awful. It's awful what they did. excuse me. So we must get rid of ballot boxes. Again, this is a constitutional amendment. We cannot. This is something we need to make sure happens. All right, let's continue. All right, huge one. Now, for those of you that have been following the Badger State Resistance, the second episode that I ever did, I talked about the loopholes within our voting guidelines. Okay, that goes all the way back to 2020, like 2 weeks after the election ended. All right, and here's what I'm going to tell you. Indefinitely confined is too broad. There's no real requirements for it. So here's what we need to do. For those that are indefinitely confined, it is absolutely crucial that an ID be required, period. Required IDs. All right. Secondly, in order to claim that you are indefinitely confined, now this is obviously, you know, this is if we can reestablish the Secretary of State back to its founding principle, we need to require a medical professional, a doctor, to deem that these people that want to claim indefinitely confined be, you know, go forward with you know, showing that they're indefinitely confined. And lastly, to make sure that we're really making sure that this is a check, we want to make sure that, you know, applications for this indefinitely confined one require a photo state ID. All right, and we're going to get into some new ID requirements that I feel that Wisconsin should move to. Okay, but the application needs to be approved by the Secretary of State. Once, you know, that application can be printed, we'll make it accessible through the, you know, the state's website. They take it to their doctor or you know, whoever it is that's going to take them to the doctor should have to get the doctor. Yep, this person cannot move from their home because of A, B, or C, or D, or whatever it is. Okay, but here's the other thing. It should be approved by either the Secretary of State's office or a board of elected officials, elected officials, okay, that are made up of members of the state assembly and the state senate. We need three checks on this. Okay, there is no pandemics are not going to be a reason for indefinitely confined. No, if you're that scared, then you'd need doctor's approval to approve that in your confinement. I'm reading some. Okay, in your confinement, I mean, you have to prove that you're essentially, you know, physically incapacitated. Really, it's what it really comes down to. We got a comment here. Man, I wish I was indefinitely confined at some point in 2020 for a few weeks. I got tired of people's BS real fast that summer. Yes, most of us, I think, absolutely did. And it absolutely is realistic, Ed. The requirements for people to become. I mean. How many loops do people go through to just collect Social Security? How many loops do people go through to get, you know, government assistance? OK, Okay, people need to go through these things. And if you want indefinite confinement, claim that, then you're going to require, you're going to be required to prove an ID, provide an ID. All right, let's go to our next ID requirements. Okay, first of all, a state issued ID with a proof of U.S. citizenship. So we've been seeing that there are, you know, DMVs that are giving IDs out for those that, you know, don't have a birth certificate or something to prove. No, we need to change that rule here in Wisconsin, whether that's a legislative rule or whatever. And then, it's absolutely crucial that IDs are state issued IDs, I should say, if somebody gets them by proving they're an American citizen. Okay. A utility bill that shows your current address must match an ID. Okay. So one utility bill. So that could be a WPS or whatever, your electric bill, your water utility bill. Any of these things have to match your ID to register to vote. Okay. Your photo ID, it's got to show you. Okay. And it's got to match the address on the ID with one piece of mail. Now, let's just say you moved or you get married or whatever. So people might be going, well, that's unrealistic. Okay. Well then fine. Show us two pieces of mail that are no more than 30 days old with an ID that has your name on it. Okay. Which you should be changing your ID, period. Okay. These are things that are simple. These are simple. And this should be required for us to be able to vote. Okay. Yes, many people on the left are going to say, well, voting is you shouldn't suppress voting. This isn't suppressing voting. This is making sure that we secure our elections here in America, in the state of Wisconsin, so that we never have what happened to us ever happen again. And then again, all IDs need to be required to, you know, have a photo ID. And I believe that college IDs, university IDs should be banned as part of an actual authentication matter for being able to become eligible to vote here in the state of Wisconsin. Just because you go to college in the state of Wisconsin does not make you a resident of the state. You need to live here for a specific amount of time, paying taxes, you know, move and show that you are actually a taxpaying member of the state of Wisconsin, not another state. You want say and stake into what is going on, then you need to be a member of our state. Okay, finally, and of course, there's going to be many, many more things. We need to talk about nursing homes. Within the 2000 Mules movie, the Gableman audit that we had here in Wisconsin was brought up, and it showed just how disgustingly sick the left truly was in taking advantage of our elderly. Many people that were taken advantage have fought in wars to preserve our republic here, and it's very, very, very important that we protect their rights. And one of the things in the 15th Amendment of the Constitution does specifically say that we cannot stop somebody's right to vote based on the color of the skin, the race, ethnicity, the gender, whatever, whoever they even claim to be, it doesn't matter. But what it does not say is that mentally incapacitated individuals have the right to vote. I do believe that morals and the Constitution are two things that really don't mix. All right. We have to start to understand that, you know, especially for me, my family members that, you know, end up having the Alzheimer's and, you know, whatever in the future, I don't want them taken advantage of by some leftist hack. Absolutely not. So it's important that we start to understand that morality, although that we do feel people have rights, it doesn't mean that is the right thing for them to do. If they can't understand, if people get to a point where they can't understand what is going on anymore, we don't want them to vote. We don't want them taken advantage of. Let's take that ability away from the left. It's important that we do so. Because if that was the case, then why don't we let, you know, 3 month and 6 months old vote, right? I mean, they don't have any will or understanding of what is actually going on. Let's not take advantage of our elderly. That's something that the left does. And we should be very, very, very strict into what we believe mentally incapacitated is. Okay, I'm not saying that somebody that, you know, becomes a ward of the state or whatever, that because they're unable to necessarily take care of themselves. I'm talking about they're physically and mentally unable to understand what is going on in society. So, let's get to some more here. So essentially, those are my six main points. Now, there's a ton more that I have. Okay, and I will and let's see, Mr. Ked says, so are we rewriting the Constitution? I am a little confused, but oh, so interested in hearing. So essentially, yes, in some ways we are going to be rewriting the state's Constitution, making ballot boxes illegal. They should not ever be allowed in the state of Wisconsin. Robin Voss, shame on you for allowing ballot boxes, and shame on the state assembly for not fighting back against Robin Voss and the elitists in this country from allowing this type of fraud to take place here in Wisconsin. That's what you are there for, is to protect our Constitution. It is imperative that you protect our Constitution. So, excuse me. So I just, yes, there is going to be. What it really comes down to, Mr. Ked, is do we want just lame laws that can be, you know, pulled apart once a leftist gets in? No, we don't want just lame laws. We want actual solutions that are indefinite in the state. You're right, Ked. The ballot boxes were never legal. They should have never been. So let's just make sure that per the state constitution, they're never, ever able to be put in place. There should never be a question. We watched the Wisconsin election give bad advice, advice to all these county clerks, okay? There was a lot of issue. There's a lot of issues that happened in 2020, and we need to start to understand that sadly, we really need to understand. I mean, it's just, there's so many people that just don't care. We have district attorneys that are not listening to recommendations from county sheriffs. We have district attorneys all over the state that have the ability to pick up, you know, these charges because these were statewide, you know, cases. This affected our whole state. So clearly we have to get very, very, very nitty gritty with it all. So I would like to bring on a guest with me. He was with me last week. It's Mr. Jonathan Wickman. He's running for lieutenant governor. And the reason why he is here with me again today, before I bring him on, is because Jonathan Wickman put out a Wisconsin's Voice technology that essentially could solve a lot of this stuff. So, my little guy you might hear him in the background. But Jonathan, how are we doing?
Good, Justin. Thanks for having me back on. And boy, was 2,000 Mules an amazing documentary.
Absolutely.
It really confirms, I'm getting my camera here, right? Mm-hmm. It really confirms a lot of suspicions, some gut intuition, things that you and I were looking at and thinking about, you know, early on, close right after the 2020 presidential mm-hmm. election. And what really blew me away was all the visual evidence that was shown. I think was it four, you know, I forget how many minutes of actual video security footage from, you know, the actual locations, right? Showing these criminals stuffing these ballot boxes and the geofencing and actually, you know, using these criminal cell phones to track and trace mm-hmm. What their patterns were. Right down to the nonprofit organizations picking up the ballots as well. It was an amazing documentary. Right. And the big takeaway for me, and thanks for introducing Wisconsin's Voice, it is a method of layers of security. Everything that Justin said early on has to be done. The registration process has to be done. There is a physical paper ballot, you know, component. This is the critical thing to it all. But what the documentary brought out was so crucial, and this is what I got away from it. Listen to this. This was said in the documentary, right? If we got access to every ballot that was thrown into the ballot boxes, would we be able to prove this is fraud? That was the question mark. And it said, it's a perfect crime because it cannot be curated after it's committed, because the evidence has no connection to the person who is meant to be voting. That's the problem. As soon as it's taken out of the envelope, the identity disappears. Once the ballot enters the system, it is almost impossible to reverse engineer it. So the big takeaways and an interesting thing is paper ballot, right? Everyone say paper ballot. Well, there were paper ballots used, actual official paper ballots. That wasn't the issue. But the actual identity of that person, thus person voting, right, was non-existent. Once that envelope was torn apart and the ballot was entered, it was lost in the system. There's no way to reverse engineer and get access to it. That is the solution that I developed and how to make sure that we have that unbreakable chain of custody with our voting process. So you can bring up Wisconsin's Voice, but what I want to talk about, if we're ready to, Justin, I thought you have a call to action real quick about signatures, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Here's the number one thing, folks. you know, grassroots candidates here in Wisconsin don't have the machines working for them like, you know, the Pat Tessins and the Rebecca Clayfish and the Roger Ross and the Amy Loudenbecks. It is absolutely crucial that if you want real change, you have to get involved. So momentarily here, I'm going to put up an email address at the bottom of the screen. If you would like my papers, you need to reach out. I can send you Jonathan's as well. I can work on getting you other candidates that I believe are constitutional. You know, Brantham, Karen Mueller. It's very, very, very important, Orlando. You know, very, very important that we get the right people onto the ballot. This whole fight ends. I'm telling you, I don't believe for a second that Rebecca, Pat Tessin, you know, Roger Roth, Amy Loudenbeck, they're not going to do what's required. They're going to go with the same old. They're going to say they're going to pass laws, but just remember that every single one of those laws that was put into place, that was put together and signed, folks, put together and signed, right? And they just need to be, you know, they're vetoed by the governor. Every one of those has to go through the Assembly and the Senate again in the next election or the next state Congress. Okay, so don't be fooled by that rhetoric. If you want people that are going to absolutely fight, we need your help. We need you to just commit 10 signatures, 20 signatures, whatever you can possibly get. I will absolutely, like I said, I'll give you the email to send it to me here shortly.
I just put my link into the comment box as well. Have it there as well. It's on my website as well as my Facebook. You know, it's there. And you know, there's a quote I say, and Justin's heard me say this all the time. It's actually on a T-shirt. The level of sacrifice that we're all willing to make right now will directly equal the amount of time we keep our republic alive and well. So, guys, 10 signatures—that's bare minimum. 20, 30. I personally got 1,000 myself, and I've been working myself to the bone. But if we don't meet the signature requirement by the end of this month, it's all over. So forget your patriot advocates inside of Madison working from the inside, right, to help make these solutions a reality, to protect our freedoms. It's over. So I've been there for Justin, I've been there for Wisconsin for the last two years to 1.5 years, nonstop. Every healthcare, Justin, how many healthcare rallies did you go to on behalf of healthcare workers?
Oh, probably over 40 last year. I mean, it was absolutely insane how many we truly, you know, and it was great. It was, I enjoyed it. Yep. I enjoyed every bit of it.
So we were, you know, like I said, we show up every day for Wisconsin. Wisconsin, this is your turn to show up for us now. There's no excuses, no more excuses. We got to get serious about this. But yeah, so again, thanks for that call to action, Justin. Want to put a reminder out there because we need help with the signatures. So yep, Nikki on it, absolutely. And I appreciate that. But as we know, the WEC and these establishment candidates, they're going to try and challenge every signature that they possibly can, right? And sometimes mistakes just happen. We're out there, you know, going as fast as we can. People are signing. There's not a whole lot of time to perfectly make sure that they're doing it right sometimes. So just by simple mistakes and error.
Well, here, and I want to add one last thing. I truly believe that there is a true you know, formula of elected officials before we really get into this Wisconsin's voice. Okay. Tim Rantham, Jonathan Wickman, Justin Schmidtke, myself. Yes, I'm going to say myself because I've been fighting for a long time. Karen Mueller. Okay. And Adam Steen. It is crucial that this is the ticket. Okay, this is the ticket that is going to secure our elections. This is the ticket that is going to secure medical freedom. Okay, I don't want to hear about the other so-called patriot candidates because I'm telling you, there's plenty to come on a lot of them. All right, we're done playing the games, folks. We have to get serious. We have a couple of months left, and if we aren't serious, it's just not gonna matter anymore.
We're out of time. Like I've been saying for a long time, we're out of time. We have you know, a 40% shortage in baby formula. We have gas that's, you know, right by me, $4.30 a gallon. You know, that'll easily touch $5, you know, in midsummer here. Again, the inflation is going to run rampant. I've been preaching this forever. And civil unrest will ensue. The Roe v. Wade is a ploy to get everyone up in arms to create civil unrest throughout the summer because they know that they've lost. The Democrats know that they've lost. They've lost the moral high ground everywhere you can look at. Republicans are coming left and right. You know, rhinos, sadly, rhinos too. But they know they're going to lose big in November. All right. They're not going to go down without a fight. Without another reason to cheat. So be vigilant. This is the most crucial times that we have to be vigilant and actually fight the hardest because this war is not over.
Right. All right. So enjoy. What I'm going to do is I want to play this, and Jonathan, tell me to stop.
Before you do, I want to clearly state for the record, so everyone listens, I want to make sure you got it, okay? There's a physical paper ballot throughout that doesn't work without the physical paper ballot. What I've done is added three layers of extra security to make sure that fraud can never happen again like it did in 2020, okay? And the first one, again, goes to the tune of what Justin was talking about prior to all of this, is the pre-registration, making sure you're a valid Wisconsin resident who is mentally capable to vote, okay? That's one. Number two is the two-step authentication process that you're about to see visually, and I have it visually. I did my best to create an explainer video to go through this process with you, allows for as many people as possible to be able to vote securely, and honestly, right? And lastly, the third component, though, is coming back to the Secretary of State. After this whole system is self-audited, all the records are there for the Secretary to look at. Still, Justin, then you will have to certify it, right? You'll have to stamp, say, certify, yes or no. So the last fail-safe is with the Secretary of State to make sure that everything is absolutely in proper place and condition to say, yes, this election is fair, honest, done, certified. So with that, let's get into it, and we'll break it apart.
Okay, let's do this.
I'll bring it up here. And real quick before you start, the last points too, again, what this covers is what the Wisconsin Voice covers is unbreakable chain of custody, complete election transparency for all of us to see. All right, we're not dependent on mainstream media to tell us play by play what's going on, right? 3 a.m. ballot dumps. Fresh voter roll. We know it's a huge problem for every election. Not a problem, needs to be done. Unique registered voters who are valid resident Wisconsins that have basically a digital thumbprint attached to their vote. So we always have an audit to it. All right. And like I said, lastly, the last step with certification of Justin. All right, let's go through it, and we'll go play by play, Justin.
Okay.
Wisconsin's Voice Technology, Election Security. First step is voter registration and validation. We have a few ways of achieving this with our technology and process. One, using the Wisconsin's Voice app, a new user will take a picture of both the front and back of their valid driver's license.
Okay. So what I've provided is multiple ways to first initially access the system, the first digital imprint of your vote going to be cast after you are fully registered. So, you know, young people, right? Young people are always on their phones. There are different ways to interact. So you have a website through a desktop. You will have an app. You'll have an in-person kiosk at the actual polls for those that, you know, maybe don't have access to that. So there's three different ways to make sure that valid residents of Wisconsin or Americans in general, right, will be able to access and vote securely and safely. Okay, Justin, continue. So we're going through those steps first.
They will also upload a picture of a utility or phone bill showing their current address matching their driver's license. 2. If a user does not have a smartphone, then they can register in the same way using the Wisconsin.gov website. They will still have to upload a picture of their photo ID and utility or phone bill to match the address. 3. If a new user does not have a valid state driver's license, then on the day of voting at the polling place, they would register in front of a standalone kiosk. This kiosk has a built-in camera and takes their picture. And it has a scanner where they would place their utility or phone bill showing their address.
All right, pause there. So essentially what that does is creates a valid user, right, resident on the fly. So again, for those saying, you know, people disenfranchised, too poor, don't have this act, all the excuses are gone. Here you are right now. We created an actual first digital ID imprint within the system for you right at the voting poll on the fly. Continue, Justin.
Citizen is registered. They are now ready to vote.
Ed, you're jumping ahead. Ed, you got to watch the video all the way through, okay? Yes, there's blockchain technology to this as well, but there's no ability to hack this, and we're getting to the reason why with the paper ballot. So please, everyone, just withhold your comments until this is all the way done. Go ahead, Justin.
This is where the magic happens. On the day of the election for any political race, a voter can do one of three things. One, if they have a smartphone, they will log into their account and vote on the election that is relevant to them. This can be a statewide race like for governor, or a local one for the school board, etc. Regardless of the race, the Wisconsin's Voice system will send push notifications to registered citizens reminding them of the election and the people who are running for election. This makes it so easy. 2. The same concept can be done on the website version again at wisconsin.gov website. 3. The same thing can be done in person at the polls. I will explain how all three variations work, how the voting system works, and why it is secure and transparent. 1. Voting via smartphone. A person who chooses to use their smartphone will select their candidates in the app and push submit. They will get a confirmation screen to make sure they did not make any mistakes. Once they confirm, the first step of two in the voting process is completed. The selection is immediately updated digitally on the .gov website for all to see in the unconfirmed votes column. The reason it is shown as unconfirmed is because there is a second in-person step that needs to be done. After a user submits a vote on their app, they will have access to their paper ballot with a unique QR code containing the vote ID hash.
So I want to stop right there and say that is incredibly important to understand that this is a paper ballot. You are making your selections. It is going to be imprinted into who you are, your identity, your vote. So that way, one of the biggest issues that we found out in the 2000 Mules documentary was that the ballots are untraceable. Mail-in ballots are untraceable. Okay, yep. This has got to become a requirement to where we can trace back a ballot. I'll
continue. And let me add to that, Justin. So how this works is after you do the digital imprint, you can literally can print out on your own printer or at the kiosk by scanning first. It'll print out your ballot. What it's going to have is it's going to have a unique user ID hash that's imprinted behind the QR code. So that's already done. There's only one unique hash per person. If you try to multiply the ballot 10, 100 times, it would only be counted once, because once that's locked in, all their paper ballots would be ignored by the system, okay? So you come in with your paper ballot, or you can print it off on demand at the polling station, just like you do with movie tickets, right? You buy your movie tickets online, but you go print out the tickets there before you go in the theater. Same concept, obviously there's a lot more security involved here, but continue, Justin.
The voter can print off the paper ballot at home or have it automatically print off at the kiosk by scanning their QR code on their smartphone. The system will automatically know and find their unconfirmed vote digital ballot and print it off. The person will then take the paper ballot to a poll worker who will scan the QR code to complete the two-step in-person verification. The paper ballot is then placed into a secure ballot box, and on the .gov website, the user's vote switches from the unconfirmed vote to the confirmed final vote column. 2. Voting via website. Basically, everything I outlined in step 1 above still happens. The user just completes their vote and prints off a ballot from a personal computer on the website version. 3. Voting via kiosk. If a citizen who does not have access to a smartphone, personal computer, or the internet, they can still easily complete the voting process via the kiosk that is directly connected to the Wisconsin's voice system. The user would select the candidate on the touchscreen, and then their ballot would automatically print out from the machine. The user would take that paper ballot with the QR code attached, and the poll worker would scan it to complete the vote.
Pause it for a second. So I want people to know is while your identity is not visible on the paper ballot, all right, it is tucked in, encrypted in that hash, but your vote selection, so if you voted for whoever, for governor, whatever, for president, would be shown on the paper ballot. So you still have a physical print off of what you circled in for the candidate that's in a secure ballot box. So nothing's changed as well. And also on top of this, the poll workers themselves have their own IDs as well when they log in with the scanner. So we even know the poll worker that scanned it and timestamped on that ballot. Continue, Justin.
The user would then deposit the ballot into the secure box. On the other side of the voting platform, we have the poll workers. This side is equally as important because all poll workers have a registered account within the system and have been verified by the state government. These poll workers are held accountable because the system knows each poll worker who scanned which citizen's ballot into the system. The system cannot be cheated because of the unique hash ID associated with each voter's ballot via the QR code. Once a vote is confirmed and locked, it cannot be changed. If a bad actor was going to try and create thousands of false paper ballots with unique hash IDs, it wouldn't work because they wouldn't know the unique hash ID that references that current election. Also, if they tried to stuff the ballot...
And let's just play really devil's advocate. Let's say somehow supercomputer was able to do that. Once that is confirmed in, though, right, in person, it doesn't happen until that person in person showing that paper ballot, right, once again, their identity, that's when it locks inside. And then that's where the audit trail will happen. So if something happened on the digital, we still have the physical paper trail, the paper ballots in the box, one for one vote, where you can audit one or the other. So you have two sources to audit from to see if the election was actually secure and fair. Continue, Justin.
Ballot boxes with paper ballots, it would show many more outstanding unconfirmed votes compared to confirmed votes. At the end of a fair election, there would be 100% confirmed votes in the system, and the unconfirmed vote column would show zero.
And it would be timely. We're not waiting two, three, 4 days because your vote would be confirmed immediately.
The beauty of the system is basically the election results would be in and done by 8 p.m. So whatever time frame we have on the books right now for polls closing, 8 p.m. Central here, right? That's it. It's over. The election block is locked. All right. Nothing more, can come in or come. So the fact to say that you're not in line or in time, that's not an excuse anymore. This is the most important thing we can do in our country. Be on time. Get your vote in. It's counted and confirmed. And it's done. No 3 a.m. ballot dumps. None of that happens under the system. Continue, Justin.
Another reason why this way is so secure is because people can watch the votes tally in real time on the .gov website. No longer does the media get to call a winner, as everyone can see in real time who the winners and losers are of the election. Lastly, if an audit is required, you will be able to pull a report from the system showing each user with picture and who they voted for digitally, and then match up their paper ballot that should be securely stored in the ballot box for up to 60 days after the election.
That right there would actually become the 18 or 22 month, it would be. So that
I put, just for example, sure, however long time frame, because everything's happened so instantaneously, you wouldn't technically need a year to figure this out, right? So That's why I had that amount. But yes, whatever time frame we deemed is right, then make it whatever. But that was just an example. Continue.
Election.
Hey everyone, Jonathan Wickman here.
There you go.
All right. So,
if you want to watch that, I'll include the link to in the comments. You can go back through it all over again. But Justin, take it away.
Yeah. So essentially, a lot of the things that I have been talking about, and a lot of the things that we learned in this, the 2000 mules. Okay, what we learned, there's a lot of correction into all this. It's very important that people go and watch the documentary 2000 Mules. It is so important that you get your friends. If you do buy it, share the heck out of it with your friends. We've been doing the same thing with our friends. Jonathan got to watch it today. And it's very sad. It's really awful. Let's see. So I want to talk about the idea in which Jonathan. But let's start putting.
So to answer Ed's question, okay, cost. Think about this. What is the price of freedom? All right, we printed $4 trillion in 2020. I can tell you right now, the cost to maintain the system is negligible in the grand scheme of things. So cost, not even an issue. Privacy aspects. I just said, the privacy is, here's the thing. You have a bank account. You have ID information, right? You same thing when you go and buy a computer. You have to have that actual valid picture ID identity attached to the vote behind the scenes. It's not public. It's not made public. So it's not like your picture and your name are out there on the gov website saying, I voted for Trump or I voted for Biden. None of that. All right, you're just seeing the confirmed votes, unconfirmed confirmed votes for the candidates happening in real time as people go to the polls and complete that process. Behind the scenes, though, you are connected to your vote. I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all.
Right.
Otherwise, we're going to be dealing with the exact same problems. I'm going to tell you right now, nothing's going to change going forward. Paper ballot all day long, that's all you're doing, okay? And election laws are broken. Who's enforcing the election laws? Justin, talk about this. Who? No one's enforcing these election laws.
Nobody is. And everybody could say we need a strong attorney general candidate to get in there. But again, at the end of the day, you know, unless that happens, but this would be something that if we can get the right people elected, you know, obviously there are things, there's different ideas and people, but, you know, funding, you know, there's an $8.5 million yearly budget to the WEC, you know, that not even close to that amount with 50 employees, with the Secretary of State had control of the elections. I mean, there's money saved. Removing the audit bureau. I mean, the state auditor folks makes more than the lieutenant governor of the state of Wisconsin. They're at $110,000 a year salary. I mean, there's plenty of ways that we can cut money by, again, returning the duties of the Secretary of State back. I mean, just by, again, state treasurer, another one, where there's been a ton of bureaucratic offices that have been created. If we get rid of these bureaucratic offices, you know, Orlando Owens is a great person to have that, you know, in many aspects. I've gotten to know Ed, and Ed and I do disagree on some aspects, but one thing that we do agree on is that elections need to be, we need integrity, and Orlando does say that those that violated the election rules and laws need to be held accountable and imprisoned. But I think we all can really agree on that. Jonathan, Tim, Rantham, that is, myself, Karen Mueller, Adam Steen. Adam Steen is the piece of the puzzle that gets rid of the corrupter, I should say, Robin Vaughs. So we have to get smart and to think that we're going to go to a hand counted, you know, paper ballot only. It's unrealistic in this day and age. And trust me, I think we'd all love to see that. But again, this is still a paper ballot that Jonathan is talking about that I want to do. It's real time versus us having to wait for, you know, these centers, these counting centers
that's a joke, right? You know, that's another thing that's an issue too. So this, again, what we're presenting solutions. Show me another candidate, okay, anywhere in any race that is presenting real tangible solutions to permanently solve this, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we're after. That's what I've been doing from day one, May 2020. We're coming up the 2-year anniversary that I've been campaigning for freedom and for, you know, having the backs of Wisconsin. No other candidate is doing this kind of legwork that Justin and I are doing. It is so valuable to the state of Wisconsin. It's our contribution to the state and our freedoms. You know, I just hope everyone's taking it seriously and has our backs here in the next 30 days, because we need you, right? This is we're in the fight of our lives right now. It's no joke. This is no laughing matter. I'm gonna tell you right now, Americans still do not get it. They still don't understand what's happening to them. And that is so frustrating to me. We guys get it here, that's fine. But, you know, we need thousands of people viewing this live stream. And the Saturday, one day people are gonna wake up and their whole country is gonna be lost. And I'm doing everything I can to make sure that doesn't happen to me and my family.
Right. I mean, with all the noise that's been made by other candidates and races and all this other stuff, we have to start putting that stuff to the side and understanding what's at stake here. You know, we can look at so many different options, but there truly is a winning solution that can actually take down the Tony's, the Tony Evers administration. And I just truly believe, here, let's put this up actually. From Victoria Schmidtke, my wife. We need to stop making voting, quote, work for the people. Voting has always been simple. Show up in person with your ID to the correct location and vote. Correct. Again, correct. This is where that utility bill comes in. It's absolutely imperative that we have people going to the right wards. We actually saw some of this confusion and issue, you know, down in the Manitowoc County and other areas throughout the state. It was a huge issue. So we need people going to the right location. They need to know where to go. They need to go know where to go. If we don't, this will just continue to fester and cause us more issues. If you'd like to join into the conversation, we'd love to put up your comments and keep going. Let's see. We got another one from Ed here. Excuse me. The problem for the most part, isn't the politically initiated. How do you get the average person that is not politically involved to understand this and see the things they need to change? Well, again, here's what I would tell you. What it really comes down for me, Ed, is if people aren't going to take the time to actually get involved, I mean, people go to the polls and vote by the tens of thousands in primaries and by the millions on election day. So I don't think it's very hard. I think that this is obviously an initiative that the government, the state government, would have to put in place. There's going to have to be education through, you know, TV ads, you know, Facebook, you know, governmental pages, whatever it is. It really comes down to is how involved do the individuals want? We want to start encouraging people to become incredibly politically involved in these political campaigns and who they elect, so that we don't get bad actors, bad players, people that, you know, like we got two state senators right now that are running for lieutenant governor. They're asking the state of Wisconsin for a raise, but yet didn't do a damn thing for election integrity. They didn't stand with Tim Rantham. They didn't go out there and say, you know what, Vaz, you know what, who's the other guy in the Senate, the Senate president, whatever his name is,
LeMahieu,
whatever his name is. These are people that didn't stand up for what was right. They didn't do it. We're not going to keep giving people, you know, a pass.
Right. Like I said, where was everyone in 2020? Okay. You could only use the excuse of I didn't know or I was scared for so long. At some Correct. Point, it became blatantly obvious that, you know, the virus was nothing really more severe than the flu. Yes, it impacted people that were immune compromised. I always put the disclaimer out there. It's like, you know, rehashing every time. But again, where have we shut down the globe? For a virus. This is a bunch of nonsense. Right at the perfect time, you know, of the most important presidential election, the turning point of this country, right? And here we are. So, yes, and Wes, you're right. We need young blood. That's the other thing. And the Republican Party's been terrible at this. Using my case as an example, from day one, they are resisting and fighting me all the way through and through the whole process when I was initially running for governor. They weren't welcoming young, fresh blood and ideas, good conservative Republicans into it. No, they weren't. Not whatsoever. And they're still plotting against Justin and I, right? On the surface value, yes, oh yeah, okay, Justin and John. But they really wish we would just go away. That's really what it is. Because here's the thing, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't believe at the top tier of the Republican Party that they're actually interested in winning elections. Top tier. I'm not saying, you know, I'm talking state. I don't think they're that interested anyway, because they want to keep their power structure intact.
Here's a couple of initiatives that I really want people to start to understand. Those of you that are part of a Patriot group here in Wisconsin, you need to start meeting, you know, a minimum monthly, if not bi-weekly. It's very important that we continue to gain this organization. Knowing where to go, how to make sure that we're protecting those that are elders, making sure that we're checking in on those folks. We really need to be doing this. Let me do this here. Brock Maddox, we will be launching serious efforts very soon statewide for grassroots candidates training and education. Brock has been an absolute advocate for the grassroots movement. He's done a lot of great things here statewide. Lots of good stuff coming from Brock. So let's see.
I want to answer Matthew Gerlach's comment here. He said something interesting, okay? And this is where Wisconsin Voice would eliminate this problem. Because what Wisconsin Voice actually does is eliminates big money out of our elections. Okay, I'm going to tell you right now, candidates not only begging for signatures, if you're starting out, you're begging for money. Okay, now depending who you get into bed with, who you're begging money from, there's always conditions, right? So these big donors that drop big money, there's always payback for them. So if you want your candidate, Matt, to always continue to work for we the people once you're in office, then they can't be bought and paid for and accounted for. And that's what's happening, right? We have an example right now, Tim Michaels. I'm going to tell you right now, Tim Michaels is trying to buy the election. If you listen to his weak interview on Regular Joe, this guy is not right for Wisconsin. I'll tell you that right now. That's my humble opinion, but my informed and intelligent opinion at the same time. Not right for Wisconsin. Trying to buy it under the pretense of, I'm a businessman. Just vote for me because I'm a business. There's a lot more going on than just, you know, what a businessman can solve, right? Does he understand Event 201? Does he understand the globalist agenda? Does he know who George Soros is? He thought Tommy Thompson was the greatest governor Wisconsin had, all right? This is what we're trying to overcome, because people think that we're in a normal election cycle from decades ago. We are not, folks. We are not. We are on the verge of major food shortages, supply chain collapse, tyranny. The last thing that's standing from armed people coming into your home is your Second Amendment. I want to say that there's only a small percentage of people that are willing to defend their rights and freedoms down to that level. Most people will roll over immediately, especially when they're hungry. So the reason I came on this, sorry, Justin, go ahead.
No, you're good. I was just going to say, you know, Ed Delgado makes a great point here. I want to see the RPW strengthened. But in order to do that, we need to embrace the populist movement and bring more young people into the fold, more young group, youth groups, more education, more outreach, even to the people of color. Absolutely. You know, actually, I want to talk about that for real quick, Ed, because there is a candidate out there that is trying to smear another candidate based on trying to get into the inner city with you know, an invitation by another candidate, right? At one point. And I'll tell you, when invitations are sent to try to get into the inner city to have a conversation that is productive to bring, it should not be frowned upon and used as a smear by a candidate. Okay. And trust me, I'm going to be talking about that in full. And I'm going to reveal individuals that were a part of this, because I think it's disgusting, because we do have an entire population here in Wisconsin that are not actually seeing what Ed is talking about. They're not seeing about what they're not seeing what Jonathan and myself and Wes and Matthew Gerlach and Victoria and Kimber, they're not seeing what we're talking, and Hannah, right? They're not seeing what we're talking about. They're being fed lies. And for candidates to go out there and try to use that as a political ploy to take down other races is disgusting. And quite frankly, I feel that you're disqualified. Sorry, my rant.
I understand the importance of reaching the youth. Every great dictator got to the minds of the youth. We see that with the indoctrination camps over public schools. So the reason from day one why I spent my precious time creating podcasts and videos on every topic that I felt was important to the people of Wisconsin is I'm trying to educate, properly educate, the young people of our state. Mm-hmm. Okay. And here's the thing. I have analytics right now. I know what my general demographic of those who tune into Facebook and listen to all my videos. I'm going to tell you right now, the large percentage of that is 30 plus years old, higher percentage women. That, right? So even though my materials are being advertised to younger people, their attention span is about 8 seconds, like TikTok. Young people are more interested in stupid TikTok videos than things that really impact in their lives now and will impact their lives in the future. It's almost like we're dealing with hypnosis. I hate to say it. That's what we're dealing with. Because they are trained not to care. So I don't know how bad it has to get in this country and state for people to wake up and care, or parents to sit their kids down for a hard lesson and teach them the facts of life, guys. This is what we're dealing with.
Right, right. So, all right. So we are actually recording this for the podcast, because I believe that we need to get this out there for as many people to hear. So we are going to close out the podcast. We can continue here, Jonathan, for about 10 minutes, but give me just a moment to clear out the podcast and we'll be back. You're going to hear the music, folks. I hope you enjoy the music. So just give me a minute.